Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
Christ is risen.
He
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to those of you watching this at home. We are still celebrating Easter around here. We are excited that our Lord has destroyed death and that we get to live forever. And so it's not just one day, Easter Sunday, that we get to talk about that. We've got an entire Easter season, and that's an exciting thing. This is only the second Sunday of Easter, and in addition to our celebration of the resurrection of Christ, we also get to celebrate a baptism today. So we have little Brinley Grace Unverfurt, who's the infant daughter of Doug and Shannon Unverfurt, and Brinley was baptized back when she was born in January. We had a baptism in the hospital, but today we get to celebrate that baptism publicly. So we're so excited that you guys are here, and we're going to be doing that pretty early on in our worship service today. If you'd like to follow along with that baptismal liturgy, you'll find it beginning on page 268. And you can place your finger there or a bookmark there. Our order of service for the rest of the liturgy is going to come from Divine Service Setting 1, and you'll find that beginning on page 151. I invite you to stand as we begin our worship together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are, by nature, sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite Brinley and her family and her sponsor to come on up and join me up here. And we can all gather up here around the font. Yeah, you can come on up here. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. The Apostle Peter has declared baptism now saves you, and this promise of salvation is for you and your children. In baptism, God puts his name on us with the water and his word so that there may be no doubt that we are surely his by all that Christ has won for us through his saving death and resurrection. And how is this child named? Brinley Grace Unverfurt. Received the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by by Christ the Crucified. Beloved in the Lord, from ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. So Brinley will be given two sponsors. We have Lori here and Ryan as well, who is unable to make it today. But I'm going to ask you, Lori, having heard these important responsibilities, is it your intention to serve Brinley as a sponsor of the Christian faith? If so, then answer, yes, with the help of God. God enable you to will and do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth, and even forevermore. Amen. On January 3rd, 2023, Brinley Grace Unverfurt was baptized with water in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, according to Christ's institution and promise. The baptism was administered at St. Mary's Hospital in Clayton, Missouri, and was performed by myself, with her father in the room as a witness, and mom was watching on the monitor as well. So I'm going to ask you, Dad, do you attest that this baptism was administered as has been reported? If so, then say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. I encourage you guys to keep that candle in a safe place and light it every year on January 3rd to remind Brinley of her baptismal day. One of the most ancient understandings of baptism in the history of the Christian church is that when a person is baptized, they receive the name of God. He takes his triune name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and places it right upon us in baptism. And because of that, it's also been a tradition in the history of the church that on the day that a person is baptized, we recognize the significance of their given name. So I looked up the name Brinley, and it looks like in Old English, it's like two words kind of put together. So Bryn is kind of comes from the word to burn, and a lee is like a clearing or a meadow, something like that. So I really like this idea, right, that the Holy Spirit in baptism burns within Brinley's heart, right? Like, he has made it so that this faith is burning in her. But I also like the idea of the clearing, because in order to make that happen, he has cleared away all of her sin, all of her guilt, all of her shame, and he's just left her with that burning desire to believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're so excited about and what we're celebrating today. The Bryn Lee, the burned clearing that the Holy Spirit has provided. I'm going to ask our elder Al to speak a welcome on behalf of the congregation.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you, Bryn Lee Grace, a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven and in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our sister in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Let's welcome Bryn Lee with a round of applause. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Bryn Lee the new birth in holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you. Amen. You may return to your seats. And we're going to sing a baptismal hymn together, number 601, All Who Believe and Are Baptized. Please stand. We continue our service now with the Introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Glory in his holy name. Seek the Lord and his strength. Remember the wondrous works that he has done. He remembers his covenant forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The first reading appointed for the second Sunday of Easter comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning with verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So, in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The words of the gradual are also on the inside cover of the bulletin. Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. The epistle reading today is from St. Peter's first epistle, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. And now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. Today, we will do so using the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I'd like to invite all of our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. Hey, how about this one? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We are celebrating a really important season of the year right now, and I know you guys know what it is, so you can say it together. What season are we in right now? Easter, right? Easter Sunday was last week, but we have a big, long season of Easter where we get to keep talking about the fact that Jesus not only died on the cross, but he rose from the dead, and that's what gives us hope that we get to live forever in heaven with him, right? So that's why Easter's such a big deal, and that's why we keep saying Alleluia, which means praise the Lord. Now, doesn't seem like every day is a day when we feel like saying Alleluia, though, right? Sometimes there are things that happen in our lives that make us not feel like saying Alleluia. And last night, I'm wondering if any of you were feeling that way yourselves. Who got a really good night's sleep last night? A few of you did. Who did not sleep very well last night? Okay, a couple of you. I wanted to show you some things I brought that I needed to use last night, and I want you to guess why. And Zoe, Zach, and Max don't get to guess because they were with me, okay? All right, so the first thing that I brought is this. What does this look like? What is it, Winnie? It's a phone charger, USB-C, okay? Because I don't have an iPhone. I have an Android. Okay, anyway, so I needed to use a phone charger last night. Does anybody know why I needed to use a phone charger last night? To charge my phone! That is a really, really great guess, and that is part of the reason why I needed a phone charger last night, but it's part of a bigger thing that was going on. I brought something else. This is a flashlight. So why would I have needed a phone charger and a flashlight? What do you think?
Because
the power went out. Close. It didn't actually go out, but there was a chance that the power might have gone out last night. And in fact, it was flickering a little bit, right? The last thing should completely give it away. Does anybody know what this is? Whoops. This thing that just fell apart. Does anybody know what this is? Got a big old antenna, too. What's this? A radio. What kind of radio? An old one? It's not that old, actually. Do you know what kind of radio this is, Lila? Because of the storm, right. We call this a weather radio, right? So there was some really crazy storms that came through this area last night. And there was a lot of rain, and there was thunder, and there was lightning. And at one point, there were these big sirens that were going off here in town. And what do those sirens tell us? Evie? There might be a tornado! So we went down to the basement last night, and I brought with me my phone charger, and we had a flashlight. We had more than one flashlight, and we have a weather radio that also helps us to listen to what's going on in case there's more alerts and emergency warnings, right? So that's kind of a scary thing, right? That a tornado might come through the area, right? Did any of you end up in the basement last night? Some of you did too? Okay. Were you feeling like you wanted to shout Alleluia when you were in the basement? What were you feeling like in the basement? Scared? A little bit? A little scared, right? What do you think? Yeah, so I keep hearing the word scared, right? So there are things that happen in our lives that are not things that we can control, right? The weather is one of those things. I can't do anything about the weather. Can you do anything about the weather?
No.
Nope. So if a tornado comes into the area, there's not much we can do about it other than maybe go to the basement, try to find a really safe place to stay. But we might feel inside like we are scared. There's lots of times in our life when we might be scared. Did you know that the disciples of Jesus felt scared too? We heard about one of those times in our gospel reading today, because on the night of Easter, after Jesus had died and they had not yet seen him, they were scared. They didn't know what was going to happen next. And then Jesus appears and he says to them, "Peace. Peace be with you." In our first reading today from the book of Acts, Peter and the other disciples are standing before the high priest and the whole council, and they told them, "Stop preaching about Jesus." Do you think that stopped them from preaching about Jesus? No, they kept preaching about Jesus. But standing before the high priests, that would be a really scary moment too. And they didn't know what was going to happen next. But you know what? All of us have those moments where things are not in our control. But who is always in control? God is. And who loves you always? God does. And who's promised that you're going to live forever with him in heaven? God has, right? So even in those moments where we feel a little bit scared, we know that God is still in control and that God still loves us. So besides all of these things that I had to use last night, there's something else up here, if I can find it, right here. What does this remind us of? What does this remind us of, Abe? Baptism, right? Baptism is one of the ways that we know that God is in control. Baptism is one of the ways we know that God loves us. Baptism is one of the ways we know that we get to live forever because our resurrection is tied to Jesus' resurrection. So that means we really don't have anything to worry about. God is always in control. Isn't that awesome? So let's go to God in prayer and let's thank him for that. You guys can fold your hands and bow your heads and repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you that you are always in control. Help us to trust in you, even when we're scared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. And the congregation will continue with our sermon here. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the first reading from Acts chapter 5, where Peter and the other apostles are standing before the high priest and the whole council of the Sanhedrin. They are being called on the carpet for preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, which they were told not to do. but they kept doing it anyway. And in this moment, Peter proclaims very boldly that he's not scared. In the way that he handles himself, in the way that he speaks to these people, he knows what the kids and I just talked about, that God is in control, that God loves us, and because of Christ, we will live forever. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last week on Easter Monday, I took the kids to the movies again, which has kind of become our annual family tradition every year on Easter Monday. Over these last few years, we've done this. It's really important to spend that day together, especially after all the busyness of Lent and especially Holy Week dies down. It's good to have that time together. And it just so happened to work out for us this year that the movie that had just come out before Easter Monday was one that they were excited to see, which was the new Super Mario Brothers movie, which was, you know, a movie that I guess broke all kinds of records last week on its opening weekend and supposed to become like the biggest animated movie ever. I'm glad I could contribute with the four tickets that I bought. And it's four tickets this year because Max was old enough for his first Easter Monday movie. Max was old enough to come with us this year, and he did pretty well. He sat there through the whole thing, nice and quiet, watched the movie, ate his popcorn. It was really good. But there were a few moments, a few scenes in the movie where Max was feeling, I don't know, let's say a little concerned for Mario and Luigi and all of their friends and their well-being along the way. I'm not going to give anything away. I know the worst thing I could do right now is spoil the Super Mario Brothers movie from this pulpit. But, you know, there was one scene in particular where Mario and Donkey Kong were stuck underwater. And it looked really, really precarious for them. It looked like everything was hopeless, that there was no escape whatsoever. And all of a sudden, as we're watching this, I feel Max on my left arm. He's kind of like leaning up against me, and I look at him, and his eyes are like really, really big, and he points at the screen, and he just goes, "Mario," which is Max speak for Mario, right? "Mario." So I knew he was scared. I knew he was nervous. So I put my arm around him, and I told him, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, Mario's going to be okay. He's actually going to save the day. And I could say that without any hesitation and full confidence because the reality is I've seen this movie before. Like, not literally. I didn't know what was going to happen in that movie. I hadn't seen that movie before. But, you know, I've seen this kind of movie before, right? We've all seen this movie before. I thought it was pretty reasonable to assume that in the Super Mario Brothers movie, they weren't going to kill off Mario halfway through, right? Just a wild guess on my part. So, you know, when you're watching it with that kind of experience and understanding, even the parts that seem a little bit intense and scary are not scary whatsoever. But if you're 3-year-old Max and you haven't quite worked that all out yet, right, then you kind of watch the whole thing on the edge of your seat because you're not really sure what's going to happen and you don't know intuitively that everything's going to turn out okay. And in some ways, that might be the same kind of attitude that we would have as we dive into this first reading that we have here in the book of Acts, chapter 5. We've seen this movie before, too. Now, Peter and the other apostles, they're standing on trial in the temple courts before the high priest and the entire Sanhedrin because they refused to stop preaching and teaching about Jesus and the resurrection. And even if you weren't familiar with anything else in the whole Bible, even if a person decided they're just going to read the book of Acts and that's it, you still could say you've seen this movie before because almost the exact same thing happens just one chapter earlier. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, just the two of them, not the other apostles, but Peter and John are also arrested in that chapter too. And they're also brought before the council in that chapter. And they're also released being told, don't preach and teach about Jesus anymore. Now, does that warning do any good? Of course not, because the disciples aren't going to stop talking about Jesus. So here we go again. In the very next chapter, Acts chapter 5, we've seen this movie before. Now, we can read about this scene and we can hear about what happened on that day, and we can do it without feeling very much anxiety or fear, wondering what's about to happen to these disciples, because you and I have 2,000 years of the context of Christian history, right? We know that everything turns out okay. We know where this scene falls in the grand scheme of things. We know that Peter and John and all the other apostles go on to keep preaching about Jesus in all kinds of places, that the gospel spreads to the ends of the earth, right? Even to the point where here we are today, 2,000 years later, and we're in Hoyleton, Illinois, and we're still talking about Jesus, right? So we know that all of this turns out fine. So because we've seen this movie before and we know how it ends, we can read through this and we're pretty calm about it. But I think it really would be good for us to acknowledge the fact that at the time, this was actually a really tense and dangerous scene. And that the way that Peter is acting in this passage makes him very, very brave and bold. When he starts out in verse 29, and he says to these men, we must obey God rather than men. And then he starts talking about the resurrected Jesus in the next verse, and he throws in this little accusation at them. Jesus, whom you killed by hanging upon a tree. Peter is speaking to some really, really powerful men here. The same ones who not too long ago were successful in having Jesus handed over to Pontius Pilate in order to be crucified. So at the time this is going on, they really don't know exactly what's going to happen next. And this really is kind of like an edge of your seat kind of moment. And just look at the way that the Sanhedrin responds to Peter. It says right here, when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. And maybe they would have, if it hadn't been for the gracious intervention of God, through a man named Gamaliel. Now, I don't know if that name sounds familiar to you at all. I'm guessing probably not. But in his day, Gamaliel was actually a really famous guy. He was considered one of the top Pharisees in Jerusalem. He was basically the equivalent of like a Jewish doctor of theology. Right? He was somebody that everybody went to when they wanted their answers, when they wanted their questions answered. And St. Paul himself studied under Gamaliel back when St. Paul was a Pharisee before his conversion to Christianity. So Gamaliel was a really big deal. And when Gamaliel speaks, people listen. And here, when Gamaliel speaks in Acts chapter 5, basically what he says is, you know what, guys? We've seen this movie before. His argument is that the Sanhedrin doesn't need to spend all this time and effort on these disciples of Jesus, these Christians, because in his opinion, this Jesus movement is going to do one of two things. Either A, it's going to basically just fizzle out, just like all of the other leaders that rose up before who died and eventually their followers just dispersed, right? So either that's going to happen, or B, maybe this really does come from God. And if this really does come from God, there isn't a single thing you're going to be able to say or do in order to stop it, right? Basically, Gamaliel actually says that in verse 39. He says, you might even be found opposing God. As a top Pharisee in his day, Gamaliel knew the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. He knew them backwards and forwards. He knew them inside and out. He's seen this movie before. He knows that God always gets his way, right? You can look at all these different moments throughout the Old Testament. When Moses goes up against Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Guess what? God gets his way. And the children of Israel are allowed to leave Egyptian slavery, right? And then later on, when they're going through the land of Canaan, the promised land, and they're this relatively small army, and they have to keep going up against all these bigger armies of the Canaanites. Guess what? God got his way. And the people were able to possess the land, right? And then much later, there's a moment where Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, comes marching toward Jerusalem with his giant army. He's planning to destroy the whole city. And guess what? God got his way again, and an angel destroyed the entire army of the Assyrians. And then even later on, during the time of the exile, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. And guess what? God got his way again. Even after they were thrown into the fiery furnace to be punished, their lives were spared. We've seen this movie before, over and over and over again. And every single time, it always ends the same way. God gets his way. It always turns out, eventually, the way that God wants it to. Which is a really important thing for you and I to remember. Since we belong to God by faith in Jesus Christ, and there's so many times when we're living our lives the way that Max was watching that movie last week, and we're anxious, and we're scared, we don't know what to do because we don't know what's going to happen next, and we're also not quite fully trusting that everything is going to turn out all right in the end. And look, we know the scriptures, right? Some of us know the scriptures just as well as Gamaliel knew the scriptures. We know what Easter is all about. We are still here celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, celebrating the fact that death is destroyed forever. We can even quote the verse that Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, that we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. We know all of that stuff. And yet we still see so much suffering and sickness and selfishness. There's a whole lot of bad things that happen in this world. And it causes us at times to doubt God's goodness toward us. You want to talk about a really scary thing, a really scary proposition? There it is, right there. But it's precisely in those moments, during the scary scenes of the movie that is our lives, when we have this ability to turn to our Heavenly Father and look at Him with our big, sad, scared eyes, and to be comforted by the one who really does know all things and who has definitely seen this movie before. The one who promises us that He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. The one who's given us His Son, which means that we have every reason to believe that even on the darkest and scariest days of our lives here on earth, we truly have absolutely nothing to fear because we know that a greater day is coming. That's why I'm really, really glad that we got to recognize Brinley's baptism this morning, because it goes so well along with what our text is telling us, right? We have this little baby, and her whole life is in front of her, and we don't know what she's going to experience, and we don't know what challenges and curveballs are going to be thrown her way. We know she's had a few tough days in her little life already, right? We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but what a blessing it has been to know this whole time since we were in the hospital together that she was claimed by God in baptism, and that no matter what happened, she was going to be just fine because she is a child of God. Right? And that's what we can say for all of us. We don't know what any given day is going to bring, but we've seen this movie before. As baptized believers ourselves, we take a lot of comfort in God's promises to us. So with all of the fear and all of these causes for doubt being removed by Christ, with sin destroyed by His death and resurrection, we're free to be bold in the way that we live our lives here and now. We don't have to shy away from living the life that God has called us to live. We can be like Peter and the other disciples and never, ever stop talking about Jesus, because we've seen this movie before, and everything's going to turn out just fine. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We turn now to the bottom of page 159 and we sing together the offertory. We have a couple updates for our prayer list today. Under care facilities, we have been praying for Verdell Krieger. We received news over the weekend that she was able to leave the nursing home and go back home, so thanks be to God for that. Also, in addition to remembering Brinley's baptism, we're also praying to God in thanksgiving for the baptism of Nora Dorothy Rossi, which would be the daughter of Dan and Ashley Rossi, granddaughter of Diane Y., and Nora was baptized yesterday afternoon. Also today, we are praying for the family of Connie Schilling, the niece of Eunice Brink, also cousin to Gary Unverfurt, who passed away on Thursday. We'll pray for comfort for her friends and family. We go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, our Father, you have raised your Son, and he has bestowed the Holy Spirit on his apostles. Believing Christ's resurrection, help us also to trust the forgiving words of his servants. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, turn the enemies of your church and bring their hearts to repentance. Strengthen all Christians in their faith and in their vocation of service as your children, that we may be obedient to your word and receive the salvation of our souls. Give us wise leaders in ministry and bless their efforts for the kingdom. Be especially with all of our mission and ministry partners, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic and our sister congregation, Our Savior Lutheran in Carmi, and their pastor, Dean Spooner. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, build up the households of your people, that your holy children, begotten in baptism, may grow in your grace and share together in your forgiveness and life. We thank and praise you once again for the baptism of Brinley Grace Unverfurt and also for yesterday's baptism of Nora Dorothy Rossi. And we ask that you would continue to bless them both as they grow in faith. And we rejoice this morning as well with all those who are celebrating birthdays, including Ellison, Navy, Edith, Doris, Rollin, Zachary, and Graham. Help them each to trust in you more and more each day. And Lord, we also ask you to bless all married couples of our congregation, especially those celebrating special anniversaries, including Nathan and Jennifer Beckman. Fill their homes with your love. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, you appoint rulers and officials for the sake of order and peace. Bless those you have placed in authority in federal, state, and local governments. Give to them the desire to serve with integrity and honor and to work for the benefit of all. Guide and protect the members of the armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, we praise your Son's resurrection from the dead and draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Show your kindness to all those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Norman, Bill, Jim, Bessie, and Brian. And all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Verdell, Ray, Joan, Bobby, Marlene, Amy, Patrick, Lorene, Beulah, Carolyn, Savannah, Wayne, Orville, Linda, Sam, Laverne, Paige, Bill, Delmar, and all those who are fighting cancer. Graciously receive our prayers of intercession for Christ's sake. We also ask you, Lord, to comfort those who mourn the loss of loved ones, especially the family and friends of Connie Schilling. Remind them, especially during this season of Easter, that the day of resurrection is coming. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your indescribable grace, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel, that through it we may have comfort and the forgiveness of sin. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word and establish our faith day by day, until at last we obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. The closing hymn today is number 917, Savior, Again to Thy Dear Name We Raise. Good morning. There are a number of meetings going on this week, so we got a bunch of stuff going on. Tomorrow night is a busy night. We've got chime practice at 5 o'clock, and then we've got stewardship, board of ed, and elders all planning to meet for their regular April meetings. So please mark those on your calendar if you are on one of those boards. And then we are looking ahead. I want everyone to mark on their calendar Monday night, the 24th, at 7 p.m. That is going to be our April first quarterly voters assembly meeting. And so in advance of that, the agenda meeting for that will be this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock. So lots and lots of meetings coming up, but we hope all of our voters will make plans to come and join us on Monday the 24th. This week on Wednesday, there's also a PTL meeting that will be taking place at 5:30 down in the school basement. There's mixed choir on Wednesday as well at 6:30 in the evening. This coming Saturday is a big day for our LWML. On the zone level, we are going to be having our spring prayer service that'll be taking place up at Bethlehem in Farron. And it'll be my last official duty as the zone pastoral counselor. So I'll be leading the prayer service along with Pastor Jennings this coming Saturday. Ladies who are looking to carpool are asked to contact Norma Tucker, and you can join at 8 o'clock from the school parking lot this coming Saturday. Next Sunday, we are bringing back Domino's and Domino's Family Night, which is like my favorite family night ever. So we are going to eat Domino's pizza, and we are going to play Domino's. If you would like to come, please bring a set of Domino's if you have some. Double 12s is the best for this particular gathering. If you have a set of double 12 Domino's, but any Domino's will be just fine. But please come, even if you don't have Domino's, you can still come and play. We're gonna all eat the Domino's pizza, but you're encouraged to bring a side dish or a dessert or some sort of salad or something like that to share if you'd like. We're gonna provide the drinks and the table service. There will be a free will offering in order to offset the cost of the pizza, but that'll all start at 5:30 next Sunday evening, 5:30. We really hope you can make it. It's supposed to be an intergenerational event, so bring your kids, bring your grandpa, you know, whoever you wanna bring, it's fine. Come on and enjoy family night together. I think those are all the announcements. Wait. Oh, okay, it's youth night tonight. So YPS and Club 58 are invited to come tonight, 6 o'clock, to Youth Night. Thank you, Adam. Anything else? Okay, if not, remember, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.